grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, uphold us with your Holy Spirit as we come and go through this life. Strengthen us in our faith that we might respond to your call to me and make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a chorus to sing as we prepare to hear God's word, Eagle's Wings.
The reading is taken from Psalm 121. This week we center in on God watching over our going out and coming in. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is Palm Sunday weekend, the beginning of Holy Week. It's also the conclusion of our focus on Psalm 121, being lifted up by God again so that we can lift others up to God. That psalm began a few weeks back with those powerful words, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And then that question is asked that's at the root of our faith and life. From where does my help come? The answer comes in that first part of verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. And then the rest of that psalm, the rest of that chapter unfolds by describing the help that we receive from God. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, who will not let your foot be moved, who will not slumber nor sleep, who is your keeper, who protects you from the sun and the moon, who keeps you from all evil. And today we close it out by looking to the Lord who will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It's a story about an influential Christian businessman named Fred who was seriously ill back in the summer of 2004. He was hospitalized, semi-conscious, and not expected to live. Periodically, he would mutter as he came out of his consciousness, I want to go home. I want to go home. After an emotional family conference with the doctors, the family concluded that they should respect Fred's wishes and allow him to die. They agreed to move him from a dialysis, knowing that his death would come in a few days. For 36 hours, Fred's family sang, read scripture, prayed, said their goodbyes. Fred seemed to get worse. His daughter Brenda sat with him at midnight, begging God for answers. Fred awoke, surprisingly. Brenda quietly told her dad of the family's decision to follow his desire to go home. She explained that he would slip into unconsciousness and then step from here to there. But suddenly Fred's eyes got wide open. Home? I didn't mean heaven, he said. I meant my house. Through some laughter and some tears, Brenda quickly called the doctors to reschedule getting back on the dialysis, what he called the washing machine to cleanse his blood. And a year later, while still prepared to go home to his heavenly home, Fred was happily at his home in Dallas. God watches our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That concept of coming and going with God's protection is a recurring theme throughout the Bible. In fact, we hear that exact phrase several times in the Psalms, Psalm 113, Psalm 115, Psalm 125, Psalm 131, and certainly here in Psalm 121. We also hear that same sentiment expressed in a couple of places. One was when Moses had led God's people through the wilderness for 40 years, and they were now at the border of the Promised Land. Moses, of course, was not allowed to go over. He was up in years. In Numbers 27:17, Moses asked God, "Who shall go out before them and come in before them? Who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd?" People needed a leader. They needed someone that could bring them closer to God. People are lost when there's no one to guide them. But God provided at that time someone to lead them into the promised land, Joshua. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 2 and 3, we hear these words, Moses saying, "I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord your God himself will go over before you, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken." So Moses passed that mantle on down to Joshua, and God obviously working through Joshua to lead the people then into that promised land. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we have a similar situation as King David had just died, and Solomon, his son, became king in his father's place. In 1 Kings 3:7, Solomon makes this declaration before God out of really a sense of true humility when he says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in." Solomon's praying there. He doesn't know what to do. He's asking God for guidance and help to lead God's people through trials and tribulations and tempests into a better future. And in verse 9, we hear the richness of that prayer as Solomon asks for leadership when he says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern your great people?" Well, God answered that prayer because it was couched in humility and not in selfishness. It was a plea, again, for guidance from God that Solomon might be a wise and discerning ruler and leader, and that he would honor God with his leadership. Oh, that such a prayer would be heard today, ringing through the halls of Congress and the White House. Maybe it's a prayer that we ought to be praying on behalf of our leaders. As we get back to Psalm 121, it ties in very well with where we are at and our journey as we begin Holy Week. We began with that Palm Sunday procession tonight, taken directly from Matthew's gospel as Jesus enters Jerusalem. We know the story. He rides in triumphantly on the back of a donkey with the crowds waving their palms, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." Jesus is coming and going, as I mentioned in the children's sermon a moment ago. Coming in as that triumphant King of kings and Lord of lords to usher in the kingdom of God. But you and I well know that Holy Week would turn into a week of horror as Jesus would be arrested, put on trial, suffer at the hands of sinners, and of a crowd that now shouts in anger, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Jesus would go out seemingly defeated, sentenced to die a horrible death on a cross. He would be that sacrificial Lamb of God who paid the price for each and every one of us, that we might be set free from that bondage to sin. As John 1:29 shares, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you know what? There has to be this coming and going for God's plan of salvation to be put in place. This all points to this week ahead of us, this Holy Week and Easter. But without the Friday that we call good, Easter would not hold the same joy and wonder and amazement that it does for us. You see, Jesus willingly went to that cross to offer his life as a sacrifice for ours. His body would be buried in a borrowed grave. And when all hope seemed lost for Jesus' closest followers, he would come again out of that tomb, rise up from death, resurrected into a new body to give us the ultimate hope and promise of new life, a life here and now transformed by his amazing grace. And that promise that our journey doesn't end with death, but it blossoms into a new and eternal life. One of those powerful reminders for me of this idea of coming and going is in John 14, when Jesus reminds us in verse 3 that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and that he will come again and take us to himself, that where he is, we might be also. Now, we don't know all the details, and we don't have to know all the details. We just need to know that God is there for us. Reminds me of the story of a little girl named Sarah. She spent a week with her grandfather, and Sarah felt during that week this inner peace and comfort. She recognized something different. During that week, she observed her grandfather pray with passion, and he seemed always to be reading the Bible. Sarah was young age, of 5 years old. And she sensed that that relationship between her grandfather and God was very close, as if God was his best friend. It was his passion to know and to commune with God that really stuck with her. When the week was up and her mother came to pick her up, she decided that she didn't want to go home. And when she was asked why, 5-year-old Sarah said, "Because God is here, and I'd like to stay where God is." It wasn't just about her grandfather. She experienced and felt the presence of God in that place. Isn't that our wish as people? We want to be in the presence of God, where really our true home is. It's our longing for God that guides us forward in our faith as we come and go in this life. Whatever struggles, trials, joys, celebrations we may face, may our journey be guided by our Heavenly Father. And may we latch on to it, hold on to that promise and that hope of the resurrection from the dead, that our final journey may end with God as we come from this life and go and enter into that place that Jesus has prepared for all. For he is the way, and the truth, and the life. Amen.